So in light of the coronavirus, I'm doing something a little bit different with the sermon series. I want us to start thinking about sort of moving through this time, this very unique time in the life of Boise, Collister, the United States, and the world, in light of the metaphor of exile. So within Scripture, much of it is told from, compiled in and written from the perspective of exile. And exile takes many forms. I did this sermon series not too long ago, thinking about exile can take the form of moving to a new town. Exile can take the form of losing a job or going through a divorce. You begin to feel alone. You begin to feel isolated. Where do I turn? Where do I go? Right? Israel ends up in exile, right? So if you don't know the history, I'm going to give you just a brief piece of Israel history, right? So you've got 12 tribes of Israel. They end up getting land, establishing in a monarchy where David is king and Solomon is king. And they have a golden time where all 12 tribes are together. But over time, there's a split. The northern kingdom doesn't want to follow the south. There are political divides. They want their own king. The 10 tribes go north. 2 tribes stay south, right? The 10 tribes to the north end up getting defeated by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And then you have the southern kingdom. It has Jerusalem. It's hanging on. But then eventually the Babylonians destroy the southern kingdom in 587 BC, and they go into exile. The northern kingdom's been destroyed, the southern kingdom has now been destroyed, the temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed, and the remaining survivors, most of them, end up getting taken away to Babylon, right? So that is like significant exile. I'm away from my land, my comfort, my home. What do I do? And so where we're at now with the coronavirus is a little bit different, right? We haven't been destroyed by the Babylonians, but we are divided politically. We're divided as a nation. We're divided as a denomination. We have an impending split coming up. We now feel more isolated than ever. We're in our homes. We're stuck. We have a hard time connecting with people and reaching out. Some of us have to be isolated for 14 days with almost no contact except for the phone. I mean, this is a unique time where I think the metaphor of exile can be helpful to us, right? Just as Israel lost its home, went into a foreign place, and they didn't know exactly what to do. And I want to read a portion of Lamentations. Lamentations is a small book in the Old Testament, and essentially it is poetry where Israel is trying to adjust to the fact that Jerusalem has been destroyed and they've been taken into exile. They're trying to wrestle with their new reality. And I want you to hear how this is eerily familiar to what many of us are experiencing now in the United States and around the world. So Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great amongst the nations. She who was queen amongst the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night, tears upon her cheeks among all her lovers. There is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the appointed feasts. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan, her maidens grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. And I feel some of that, the barrenness of the streets, the loneliness of isolation, of quarantine, right? The difficulty in not gathering with you here, to be alone in the sanctuary and to not feel like I can connect to my family, my body, the body of Christ. And so I want to give us space to really feel this deeply. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. I really believe this is a marathon, not a sprint. That these days are going to last longer than we would like. That it's going to continue to create difficulty for us in many ways. Loss of jobs, loss of community, loss of relationship. The economic fallout's going to be devastating. There's going to be many needs that arise. We have to begin to prepare our hearts for exile. How do we live into this new reality well? Here are some of my own fears or concerns. When Israel went into exile, there were several things that occurred. One, many of the people lost faith. The notion was, if God, the God of Israel, Yahweh, the God we worship, if God's so powerful, if God cares for us so much, then how could Jerusalem be destroyed and how could we be carried into exile? Maybe the Babylonian gods are stronger, more powerful to be trusted. So that I think there was a loss of faith going into the exile, right? That's a huge problem. There's also a loss of hope. How can we worship without the temple? Right? How can we be the Israelites without Jerusalem, without a place, without land, without the temple where they really believed God dwelt? Right? The presence of God has left us was the feeling for those within exile. And also there's a loss of identity. So now that the Israelites are in Babylon, over time many of them adopted Babylonian culture, Babylonian dress, beliefs, ways of living in the world. And so their Israelite identity, their identity as the people of God is lost. And I think that our time of exile now here has, I have some similar fears that there will be many who will lose hope and lose faith. That why is this happening to us? Why have we been sent into isolation and exile? I believe that there's going to be some loss of hopes, a kind of desperation that says, and I feel this, how can I be a pastor with no people? I'm in the church right now, it's empty. How do I maintain my Christian identity? How do I serve and love my community when I'm told to stay in my house? So I fear like this hope, the sense that we can't worship, the way Israel felt like they couldn't worship without the temple, I feel like I can't worship without the flock, without the body gathered. So we have this, I mean, I have this insecurity, I have this fear. And then loss of identity, that I will play into my anxiety, my fear, my frustration, and that I will lose my sense of identity in Christ. That I'm going to operate on my base nature and not into the heightened nature that I'm called to in Christ, right? So I think a loss of faith, a loss of hope, and a loss of identity are very real in this time. So I want to think about what it would mean to not let those fears, not let those anxieties win. So one of the things we're doing is connecting through Zoom. This is a creative way to say, how are we going to connect via the body of Christ? How are we going to do this when we can't meet face to face? Well, we're going to call. We're going to create a call tree. And we're going to set up Zoom times where we can see each other on our screens, if not face to face. We're going to share our hopes, we're going to share our fears, and we're going to share our prayers. And we're going to get through this together. We're going to find a new way. We don't need the temple to worship. We don't need this building to be the people of God. We are the temple. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We get to be the church. And even in this trying time, it provides these opportunities, these pockets, these moments for the church to rise up, to reclaim our identity in Christ, and to show the world we can live differently even in a time of coronavirus. And I've mentioned this might take the form of small acts of kindness, of being intentional to reach out to those in your life that you know need to experience love and comfort and support. It might mean sacrificing in small ways like not hoarding food, and in large ways helping our neighbors when they're in need, even when it means our own exposure, right? We can reclaim our Christian identity for a world that's looking at us. The world is watching. What are Christians going to do? I want to show them a way of living that is inspiring, that suggest that God actually makes a difference in the way we behave and treat one another. But even in exile, we can be a beacon of love. We can be salt and we can be light for a world that needs it. You know, to me, I really believe what we've seen is that fear is contagious, right? Fear spreads. One person grabs toilet paper. Pretty soon everyone's grabbing toilet paper. They're not even sure why. We just got to get some. But I wonder, I don't wonder, I think I know. Love is contagious too. Jacqueline said that in the article, the recent article about her that I emailed out to you. She was interviewed, and the idea that hate can be contagious and fear can be contagious, but so can love. And in this time of exile, we need it more than ever, right? I want to read a second passage. I read to you Lamentations and the cries of Israel about being destroyed, feeling like they don't have a place. The streets are desolate. But I want to read a second passage from Jeremiah, and I've read this not too long ago. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament as well. He's a prophet. He's a prophet that existed with Israel during its time of monarchy and power. And Jeremiah was the prophet as the monarchy fell and Israel was taken into exile. And Jeremiah continues to be a prophet in exile. And here are Jeremiah's words to the Israelites who have been taken away into captivity. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those carried away into exile. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not be led astray by those in Babylon. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Maintain your identity. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to get you out of this place. This will not be forever. Exile will not be forever. God will deliver. God is faithful. We must be patient, right? Patient, fiercely patient. We must persevere. We must be faithful to God and to love our neighbor. God will bring us out of this place, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Let us take those words in. Let us absorb the hope we have in God. The hope in a God who does not abandon us, who does not leave us, who hears the Israelites crying in slavery in Egypt, in exile, and delivers them. A God who hears Israel crying out in exile in Babylon and comes to deliver them. A God who hears us crying in the midst of coronavirus and will come to deliver. But we have to be willing to live in exile faithfully, to live in exile well, to live in exile with one another, even if it means our connection is over the phone and a Zoom meeting. Love will get the last word, not hate. And hope will get the last word, not fear. I have all the confidence in the world that we'll get through this together. I'm just grateful that I don't have to do it alone. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful that you have provided a historical witness in Scripture, a witness to humans who have to live in exile, but not alone. Humans who are lost and afraid and in despair, and yet over and over you come and provide hope, and you come and provide deliverance. And this is what we long for, Lord, individually and also collectively. We pray for our world. We pray for every leader making decisions, whether it's our government, the CDC, the World Health Organization. Give them discernment. Give them wisdom, Lord. Help us all to learn how to deal with this with grace and compassion. That in this time of despair, we might show the world your way, the way to your kingdom. We pray for every person who's been affected by the coronavirus, who's been sick, who's lost a loved one, who's lost their lives, who's lost a job, who's lost their way. Those that feel isolated and alienated, Lord, we pray for them that your Spirit will be poured out in a powerful way and they would not be alone. That they would know you are with them and that they would find hope and comfort. We pray for your Spirit. We pray for guidance. Give us strength, Lord, in our time of despair. Amen.